another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious host. And I'm not broadcasting live today. I am pre-recording this show because probably when this show airs, I will be lying on the beautiful sandy beaches of Cozumel, Mexico. But I just wanted to welcome all of you from all over the world. And as I always say, I know that if you are listening to this show tonight, that the Spirit of God has attracted you here. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this day, this moment, as you're listening to this podcast, that you will begin to receive enlightenment and revelation about your life. Well, I'm really excited. I have a great show for you today. Today, I have two guests. My first guest is Miss Katie Sigler, and she is coming from out of California, and she's going to be sharing her wonderful coaching experience. And I chose to have Katie on because she's a rock star in her 20s, and I just wanted her to share with everybody 30 and under how you can really begin to live a purposeful, fulfilled, and abundant life. And then secondly, everybody who is interested in a relationship, stay tuned because my very special guest is Mr. Matthew Boggs, and he's going to be talking about his project, Project Everlasting, where he actually interviewed, I think, about 400 couples who have been married for 30 years or more. So he's going to be talking to married people and to single people. So stay tuned. But first, my very special guest all the way from California, Katie Sigler. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Well, hi.
Thanks. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. How are you doing?
Really great. Katie, you're calling from what great city?
Sunny San Diego, California.
Sunny San Diego, California, never been there. And Katie, as I said earlier, I wanted to have you on because you are such a great example of a woman who is walking purposefully in her life in your early 20s. So why in the world did you contact me for coaching?
Well, I was listening to your podcast every single day at work. I found you on iTunes, and I listened to every single archive that you had because I was obsessed with the law of attraction after I'd read The Secret. And there was so much good information, and I was always contemplating, like, is this for me? Like, did I find Constance to actually coach? And I kind of put it off. And then one day I had like an epiphany that it was like, no, you found her to use her, to use her services, and I view it as an investment. And so I just made the decision and did it.
Okay, and you're so spiritual and you're so wise. Every time I coach you, I'm just amazed at your wisdom. So what role has spirituality played? By the way, Katie is an artist. Let's talk about that first. So you are an artist. Tell the audience what you do.
Well, I'm an artist. My favorite medium is pencil. I've always had like an artistic passion, but it really started coming out in high school. And then I started getting into graphic design, and I went to graphic design school. And since then, I haven't done anything but draw, paint, work with digital programs, and just advance my skills as far as they can go. And it's a constant learning. Every day I'm learning something new that has to do with art. But I do a lot of different mediums. And I have a website that you can go on to and check out all of my work, and I'll give that at the end.
Okay. So what role does spirituality, your relationship with God, play with your business, play with your creating, your artwork?
Spirituality is absolute number one. There is nothing above spirituality because at our core, that's what we are, is a spirit. So I ask God about everything. I check with him down to what my diet should be. I always let my intuition guide me, even if it doesn't seem like it's making sense, or if I don't want to do it, that probably means it's the spirit guiding me.
Right, and I know now you have your own studio, and you know, where in the world did you get this wisdom from? I know that when I first started coaching you, you made a statement that really, you really committed your life to Christ and really gave your life to God and said, God, here I am, and I really just want to help people and bless people with my art. And now here you are in your 20s and you have a studio. That's ridiculous.
I don't think it's that ridiculous, but my whole bedroom, I have completely redesigned our upstairs and I turned it into an art studio. There's murals on every one of my walls. My whole room is full of art. So I decided that I needed to have a separate space outside of my bedroom. And it literally happened kind of overnight. I Googled art studios in San Diego and everything just fell into place. And it is the perfect space that I found, and I feel like that I was completely led there by Jesus. Jesus is everything to me, and he does all the work. Everything, all the glory belongs to him.
And so here you are, you're in your 20s. You're 20 what, Katie?
I just turned 22 on the 6th of October.
Okay, she's 22, and here she is just listening to God about every facet of her business. And now in her studio, she's around all of these other great artists, and she works another full-time job, and then in the evening, she spends 3 to 4 hours just doing her work and praying and meditating. And how has all of this changed your life, Katie?
It literally has completely transformed me. Old patterns, limited beliefs, habits, they have completely fallen aside. So my wide focus, I had a general idea of what I wanted to do, but it's become laser-like since I started coaching. And I just have a deeper understanding and knowing of my purpose and the boundless potential that we have as human beings.
And you always amaze me with what you say. And so with coaching with Katie, what I do is she basically has spent time praying, and I just guide her along the path that she's already on, that God has placed her on. And so what would you like to say to listeners in summary tonight about coaching or about finding their purpose or destiny?
I would say that finding your divine purpose is the most important thing you can do in life. There's nothing more important than what God has ordained you to do, and it's waiting to be uncovered. It's waiting for you to start making the decisions to uncover it, because it will guide you. When you start making the steps to fulfill what you're here for, it automatically, naturally starts just unfolding for you. You might have to take a few decisions on faith, but God is guiding. He has a purpose for you, and everybody needs help and guidance. And I would just say, you're listening to the show for a reason, and it's probably to use Constance's services, because she's here to help you find why you're here and how to really live your purpose. So I would say, do it. Get the guidance that you need, and you're not going to regret it. Follow your intuition, because it's waiting for you to listen to it.
Well, you know, I appreciate you saying that, Katie. And I just want the listeners to get your website. And I call Katie the rock star of the art world. I told her that she reminds me of Lady Gaga, the kind of artistic ability that she has with art. And I want all of you guys, even internationally, to go to her website and just take a look at her work. Katie, how can they take a look at your work? What is your website?
Yeah, sure. It's www.thecreativeconnection.com, but creative and connection are both spelled with K's. So it's the K-R-E-A-T-I-V-E, connection, K-O-N-N-E-C-T-I-O-N.com. And you could read all about me, see all my work, and buy my work, whatever you want to do.
And I want you to really buy her work. She's doing something special for me, and I can't wait to see it. And she is just a phenomenal woman, and I want her to be on, not even necessarily so you could coach with me, but so that you could see what happens in a person's life when they totally yield themselves to God and how every facet of your life would just fall into place. And, Katie, I just want to thank you so much for being on tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, everybody. I want you to stay tuned. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Matthew Boggs about that wonderful word, love.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at LOARadionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with our mobile app as well, or just listen through an MP3 player or computer. Remember, LOARadionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries, is the radio station for your well-being.
Hello, this is Constance Arnold. Do you have an upcoming conference or an event where you need a keynote speaker or leadership training? With over 25 years of experience, I am a recognized international leader in the areas of self-motivation and maximizing human potential. I have been the featured keynote speaker and trainer for numerous Fortune 500 companies such as Delta Airlines, Lockheed Martin, and the Russell Simmons Success Tour. I would love to partner with you to develop customized speaking and training that would change and empower your organization in 2011. So visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com and take a look at my speakers page to see a detailed listing of my clientele and speaking services. Or you can email me personally at Constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Well, welcome back, everybody. And today I am so excited because we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, L-O-V-E, love. And we have a great guest on tonight. My very special guest tonight is Mr. Matt Boggs. And Matt has dedicated his life to increasing love in the world. And he has such an interesting story. Matt and his best friend journeyed over 12,000 miles. And what they did was there were two bachelors interviewing America's greatest marriages. And he's going to share more about that. So Matt has co-authored the best-selling book, Project Everlasting, and he would share that. And he's also, I understand now, he has produced a critically acclaimed documentary film and hosted his own radio show. He might be a celebrity, entitled The Bachelor Pad: Relationship Secrets from the Man Cave. And so whether or not you are married today, I want you to stay tuned. He's going to have some great info for you. Or if you're a single person really seeking that special soulmate, I especially want you to stay tuned. Matt has appeared on the Today Show, CNN Headlines, Fox News, ABC Family, Oprah and Friends, XM, the Hallmark Channel, and many, many more. And I'm so grateful and excited about having Matt on the show tonight. Matt, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you having me on, Constance. And I want all your listeners to know that you know what to do when it comes to making a man feel good. Everyone, we are off the air. The first thing she did was compliment me within 2 seconds of having me on the line. And that is one of the secrets of charging your man up, is praise him, give him compliments. We may act like we don't like it. We may act like it doesn't get to us, but man, it does. And it feels very good. It feels great to be on your show. So I appreciate you having me on the show.
Well, thank you. I think that God has given you a very interesting calling, or a very interesting purpose, and that is really increasing love. So share with my listeners a little bit about who you are and how in the world did two bachelors, you and your best friend, I looked at the DVD last night, come together to interview all of these hundreds of married couples.
Well, that is a great question, and I resonate with you that I really feel like this is a divinely inspired mission, and I really am on my life's purpose with helping people attract the love and experience the love and grow the love they want to have in their lives. And I really believe that we're pushed by pain until we're pulled by a vision, that oftentimes that's the case. Mm. And that was certainly the case with me. One of the most painful nights of my life, I was 14 years old, studying for a biology exam. My mom calls me into the living room where my parents were sitting on the couch, and I sat next to my sister. And she told me that after 27 years of marriage, that her and my dad weren't in love anymore, and they were going to call it quits. And they said that they were getting a divorce. And within 3 weeks, I grew up on a farm out in the country in the hills of Oregon. And both of my sets of aunts and uncles lived on this farm. They all worked it together with my parents. And within 3 weeks of my parents saying that they were going to get a divorce, both sets of my aunts and uncles decided that they were going to follow suit and get a divorce as well. So it was like this big relationship marriage bomb exploded on this farm. And like many of us, when we have a traumatic or an emotionally impacting event, oftentimes we will make decisions. We'll let that create paradigms for us about what we believe is possible, and that will influence our decisions moving forward. And so I made some decisions about love and relationships, specifically what I was willing to risk, what I was willing to give, and what I wasn't. And unfortunately, those decisions didn't lead me down a very good path. I had a lot of failed relationships. I couldn't figure out why my friends were getting into these phenomenal relationships. And I wanted a great relationship. I wanted to be in love. I wanted all of that, but I couldn't figure out why I wasn't attracting it. And so I wanted to know. So long story short, I was so inspired by my grandparents' 63-year marriage. My grandfather's wow. health was failing. They just had this incredible relationship that wasn't without its trials and tribulations. I mean, my grandmother said at one point, you know, I asked them about if they ever considered divorce. And she said, you know, I've never wanted to leave your grandfather. I've wanted to kill him, but I've never wanted to leave him.
I saw that on the DVD last night, and that was so funny, but it's so real.
So real, yeah. I mean, they had and it was like they had so many obstacles they had to overcome, and here they were after 6 decades of being together, being married, and they were still crazy in love with each other. Mm. And there was a moment when I said to myself, "Man, that's the kind of marriage I want to have. That's what I want in my life. How do you get that? Who do you have to be? And what do you need to practice? What are the skills in order to create that? Not only attract it into your life, but then grow it and nurture it and let it flourish." And so my best friend and I, his name's Jason Miller, in our late 20s, we jumped into an RV and we drove 12,000 miles in search of America's greatest marriages. We had a documentary film crew with us, and my grandma at 88 years old, she jumped in this RV with us and went around the country seeking out America's greatest marriages, and we interviewed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of couples to figure out how they met each other and how they knew that this was the one and what it would take to make it last.
Wow, that's just an awesome story. And as you were talking, I had a Dr. Caroline Leaf on my show, and she's been studying the brain mat for 30 years, and she said our brain is wired for love. And whenever I hear that, that always moves me, because we're wired for it. People they're seeking it. People will kill for it. You know, it's just as important as the air we breathe and the food that we eat. So I think it's just so awesome that, you know, of course you drug your grandmother along. She probably had a great time with you two guys. That it's so awesome that you really have these great, interesting secrets. So what are some of the single greatest secrets that you've learned from America's greatest marriages?
And you brought up a great point that, you know, these couples would drive for hours, literally hours, to come and share their story. And I was always moved when I would see this couple in their 90s, you know, get out of the car. I don't know what they're doing driving in their 90s. You would think they probably shouldn't be on the road. But this guy, super frail, you know, they get out of the car, and we'd be on the east, you know, east coast. I live in California most of the time, so I don't know my way around the east coast a lot. We'd be near, we'd be in Pennsylvania, near Philadelphia, and we'd say, hey, so, you know, where did you come from? And he would say something like, you know, hey, I drove from Paoli. I said, oh, well, where? How far away is Paoli? And he said, you know, about 5 hours.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my goodness. And they were so eager to share these, and I wasn't ready for the impact that, you know, it wasn't halfway through our trip that we would get phone calls that people had passed away. Mm. And it was their one of their last sharings, definitely on camera. Mm. And for the book, and since then both my grandmother and grandfather, God rest their soul, have passed away, and I'm sure are living it up, you know, upstairs somewhere. but happy to be back together again because my grandfather passed away earlier. But every interview we did, they all talked about the same principle. We would ask them, "What's the number one secret that would keep your marriage together?" And every interview they said the same thing. And Constance, I have to tell you, I was so disappointed with this answer.
Don't keep waiting, Matt.
I was so disappointed. Every interview, they said, respect. And, you know, I was in my late 20s, and I wanted some groundbreaking information I had never heard before. And respect was such a boring answer. And I would just let it fly over my head. You know, I wouldn't really listen to it until about halfway through this trip. My best friend and I, we've been best friends for 20 years. We met when we were 8 years old. We wanted to kill each other. We literally wanted to strangle each other about halfway through the trip, primarily because we hadn't been practicing what these couples were trying to teach us, even in our friendship, the entire time, which is respect. And particularly having an upholding of one another. And oftentimes we get very intimate, we get very close, emotionally intimate. We know the ins and outs of the person. We know their hot buttons. We know how to push those buttons. We know where their sensitive parts are. And they said that it's in those are the times when they deserve the utmost respect. They deserve you to protect them. And, you know, all the great researchers echo that same statement. Even, I don't know if you've had Dr. John Gottman on your show,
but
he's one of the leading. He's a fantastic researcher out of University of Washington, where he, in one particular study, could meet with individuals and within 5 minutes determine whether or not they were going to stay married or get divorced with a 96% accuracy. And what he would look for is he called them the four horsemen, the telltale signs that you're going to split up. And all four, I'll give you them right now, it's defensiveness, criticism, disrespect, like rolling your eyes. He calls it contempt, where you roll your eyes, you kind of disregard what the other person is saying, and then stonewalling, or the silent treatment. All forms of those are forms of disrespect. Mm. And he said, you know, what ultimately the opposite of that, logically, we would admit this makes sense as well, the opposite of that is what fuels marriage the most, the forms of respect. And listening, just being present, your presence, you know, all of the listeners, the person who's listening to this call right now, how present are you right now listening to this? How present are you with your significant other? Because that presence, that degree of listening is the highest form of respect that we can give one another. There's this great research project done where people were surveyed and they were asked, how do you feel most loved? And by and large, the unanimous answer that came back was when I feel listened to, when I feel heard, when the person is really with me, you know. And it's both when we need someone to jump in the puddle with us, when things aren't good and we just need to we need them to hear us as we're venting, you know, or, you know, we want someone to share in our day or just connect with that listening and letting the person connect to us is one of the highest forms of respect. And the second one is keeping agreements. You know, what is our relationship with our word? Do we do what we say we're going to do when we say it? You know, do we keep those agreements? Two very high forms of respect with one another.
Well, that's really awesome. And And those are just critical, I feel, attributes that are really missing in the lives of many couples. And, you know, 50% of all people now who get married are getting divorced. And I think that your research can really help people to really, you know, live a happy marriage and really maybe save some marriages tonight. So what are some other secrets that you and your partner found out from America's Greatest Marriages?
Well, and it's great that you bring that up, because I actually, for everyone, I think it's important to learn from people who are living the work. You know, that's why I went to couples who have been married over 40 years. I wanted to hear from people who've walked the talk. And so the book is filled with all their great stories and wisdom. And I want everyone to know that this stuff works, because at the end of the book tour, actually, I ended up meeting the love of my life, and thank God I had done this research. You know, thank the Lord I had been empowered. I mean, it is such a great gift to have the skills. And so I ended up getting married. I got married 2 months ago. And
well, congratulations.
Thank you. We dated for 4 years, kind of, you know, felt our way through it, got married. And I'll give you one critical piece of information, because I have also a degree in biology, and I love studying the differences between men and women. And so the Marriage Masters talked about, you know, how you're communicating with one another. And there's a principle where you listen to what the other person is emotionalizing rather than what they're verbalizing. Mm-hmm. And this is a big one for us men. Men, we will, on average, women speak 20,000 words a day. There's some conflicting research with this, but the point is still very good. So women, on average, speak 20,000 words a day. Men, on average, speak 7,000 words a day. So how this gets translated in communication is men love efficiency. They love to get to the bottom line, get to the point in their conversations, and they choose their words carefully because they're speaking fewer of them. Women, on the other hand, well, because they are speaking 20,000 words, will use words that describe how they feel rather than the accuracy of the word itself.
Right.
So oftentimes, like, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation where you get in an argument and your man starts picking apart your sentences, and he starts arguing about one particular aspect of what you said, and you're like, no, that's not my point. You're not getting me at all. And he's like, well, you're not saying what you mean, and you start arguing about what you're arguing about rather than the source. I'll give you an example. Before my wife and I were married, we lived 20 plus miles away from each other, and with traffic, it was a 40-minute drive. And we did not live together before we got married, so if we wanted to see each other, we would have to drive back and forth. Well, one particular evening, she came over, and we were gonna hang out, and she comes down, and she's in her car. I come down and get in the car with her, and she's silent. And the tension in the car is thick as butter. I can cut it with a knife. And I know I have done something.
What did you do, Matt?
But I don't know what it was. I'm like, you know, fellas, I'm sure you can relate. You know you've done something, but you don't know what it is. And so I'm trying to figure out what the problem is. And so I ask her, say, honey, what's wrong? And bless my wife's heart, she actually tells me when something is wrong. She doesn't wait for me to figure it out. She tells me. And she goes, well, I feel like things are very off balance. And she starts crying immediately, like she's, boom, she's just flooded. She's overwhelmed with emotion. And she says, I am always driving to your house. You are never driving to my house. Now, I know in my mind that I had driven to her house at least once that week. Mm-hmm. Never mind the fact she had driven to my house four times.
Right.
But so the man side of me instantly kicked in and wanted to argue that, well, wait a minute, what do you mean I never drive to your house? I drove to your house one time this week, and I wanted to defend myself. I wanted to get defensive. I wanted to argue that point. And I'm looking at her, and she's got tears coming down her face. And so I remembered this from the Marriage Masters. What is she emotionalizing rather than verbalizing? What is she really saying? Like, look, try to look behind the words. And then if you can just acknowledge the feelings that the other person has, what a great tool that is to building connection. And so I held myself from getting defensive. I battled with all my ego and all that. And I said, babe, what I hear you saying is that you feel like things are completely unfair right now and that you're driving way more than I'm driving. And she said, yes. And I said, well, what can I do to help you? And ladies, this is a huge tool that you can use, this verbiage, because men, we get an emotional trigger. We get a biological boost, literally an attraction trigger, when we can do what I call deliver happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Every man's greatest subconscious desire is to make his woman happy. These marriage masters would say, hey, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, Matt. Ain't nobody. And believe that is so true. If mama's not happy, ain't nobody happy. So we need to know, you have to give us the happiness blueprint. What can we do to deliver happiness to you? Men, we get charged up from accomplishing goals. It's how our brain is wired up. We literally get a biochemical boost if we can accomplish a goal. So if you can tell us what we can do to make you happy, we are on it like Superman. You know, we're like, oh, this is my mission. I will make you happy, my dear. Like, let me get this down. And
right.
So I said, what can I do to make it up to you? And she was like, well, I would really love it if you would take on the effort of driving this week. I said, you got it. I was totally willing to do that. Now, if I hadn't been gifted and blessed with those skills from these couples who had been in the trenches and knew how to transition through this and transition through conflict smoothly, I would have started arguing about what I had done and the fact that she doesn't pay attention to what I do, you know, and getting all in defensive, and then that would just backfire and the whole thing would have gone down in a tailspin. But I'm so grateful for those skills, so because it allowed us to move through that quickly and easily. So
wow.
Great skill. Listen to what they're emotionalizing rather than verbalizing.
Well, you know, I've been a therapist for 25 years, and I was in a meeting just recently, and I heard that if a couple can learn to deal with conflict, the possibility of them staying together is greater. And I think what you just explained was just a great example of that. And, you know, we're talking to the married people, but I want to pull the single people in, because you're
mm-hmm.
also a guru with single people. You said something about secrets from the man cave. You know, us we're not allowed to go in the man cave. And, Matt, aren't you writing a new book?
Yes, it's called Cracking the Man Code.
I can't wait until that comes out. So I would say the number one question that I get, Matt, next to how can I attract more money in my life, this is the Law of Attraction Radio Network, would be how can I begin to attract my life partner? So what would you say are some critical factors in attracting your life partner?
So let's approach this from two different perspectives.
Okay.
Because I think, especially, you know, I love the fact that your radio show is about the law of attraction, because we have both the internal game, who we are and how we're in alignment with our dream on a vibrational level, because that dictates what we're attracting into our life. But then once we attract it into our life, to be able to have the real life skills and to know what to do can either increase our chances of being and creating a great relationship or repel the men. And so often some of my best clients are these women who are successful, they're beautiful, they're in shape, and they're thinking in their minds, if I'm so wonderful, why am I still single? And there is literally something they're doing that is absolutely repelling great men that simply by switching a couple things up can attract him into their life. So the first thing, so let's start with the inside, then we'll go with the outside.
Okay.
The first part of this is the inner game, which is take a look at, are you in alignment with what it is that you want to experience in your life according to your beliefs? And I love that Wayne Dyer says, anytime we consciously want something, but we don't see it in our lives, we haven't physicalized it. We may know about wealth and we may know about love, but until our bank account reflects wealth, we don't know it. We just know about it. And until our life reflects the loving relationship we want, we don't know it, we just know about it. So anytime we consciously want something, but we don't see it in our lives, there is always a subconscious block, subconscious conflict, okay?
Right.
And I'm sure I know I'm preaching to the choir, so we're, hopefully this is landing on open minds out there for the listeners saying, yes, and what is it? And so often I hear belief systems like there are no good men out there, or belief systems like, I'm too old, I'm past the age where it's possible to meet a guy who's on my level. I hear I'm too successful to meet a guy who's on my level, I'm going to have to compromise. But because deep down they don't really want to settle, they end up not meeting anybody. Or, I hear this one a lot, especially from successful spiritual women, is they can meet a guy who is spiritual, but they believe he's going to be broke. And so guess what they meet? They meet spiritual men who are broke. Or they believe they can meet a successful guy, but who's arrogant and who has no sense of spirituality or who is grounded. So guess who they meet? They meet all these arrogant, successful guys who are no fun to be with and have no depth to their conversation. So analyze, what beliefs do you have that aren't in alignment with your dream of meeting the of creating the relationship that you want? And
Matt, I want to inject something. So what you're saying is that a person can consciously say and believe to my listeners all over the world tonight that they really want to attract love, have a great desire for love, but really at the core, on the inside, they don't really believe that they can, that that's possible for them. And so it never appears or manifests in their life.
Absolutely. Or it's like having one hand out calling love in and the other hand out holding love at bay.
Ah, wow. That
saying,
is powerful.
Saying, stay away. I'm open, but stay away. Like, I'm available, but not now. And, it's funny. There's only one time when we can meet. People say, well, how do I meet Mr. Right? Or how do I meet Mrs. Right? How do I meet the one? A better question to ask is, when can you meet the one? Because there is really only one time that we can meet the love of our life, and it is now. And I'm sure you get this, because perhaps, have you read the book The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure lots of your listeners have read that, so you'll get when he says in there, there is nothing other than now. Because the past, when we remember the past, we remember it now. When we think about the future, we're thinking about it now. So this now space becomes this very expansive space. And so often I work with women who want a relationship, but not now. They want it soon. And I'll ask them, and I can tell immediately, I'll ask them, do you want a relationship? And they say yes. And I say, when? And they'll say, and they'll get a little bit tight. They'll take a deep breath, like, soon. Soon. I just have to do this first. I have to do that first. I need to do this first. And I say, okay, that's totally fine. You're just not going to meet him now. When you're in the space of, I'm ready now, and there's this very peaceful grounding, yes, I'm ready now. Because men can feel this. We are electromagnetic beings. And because I'm a science guy, I love how science actually reflects our spirituality. And we can now measure the electromagnetic radiation that we put off, or other words, the vibe, the vibration. And if a woman or a man is vibrating at joy and gratitude, that calibrates differently than if they're vibrating at fear and scarcity. And we've always been able to sense this from one another. We've been able to tune into this. It's like when you walk into a room and the people in there have been arguing and it's tense. They don't have to say anything. Instantly, we can feel it, can't we?
Right. And so what you're saying is that you guys can feel it when a woman is really ready, when she's walking in her being, when she's ready for love versus one who is not.
Absolutely. It's obvious when a woman, we call them the TFP, the total female package. She's confident, she's grounded, she's having fun, she's open. It is a sexy, sexy place to be, highly attractive, high value place to be, and men swarm. Men will swarm a woman like that versus a woman who has all sorts of reservations. you know, whether or not she, sometimes there's forgiveness work to be done about the past and releasing energetic ties to past relationships. Other times it's boldness work that needs to be done, courageous work about, am I willing to risk again because I've been hurt in the past? Because relationships, you know, there's no guarantees. There's always risk.
Right.
There's always risk involved. So that's the inner work. Okay. Now, one of the principles that I teach, and this is what comes up most often, because it's really, I have so much compassion and so much, my heart goes out really for women dating today, because never before have women been asked to be so sophisticated with their energy and their approach to dating as they're being today. And because, it's, you know, we live in a world where, you know, women, you can ask the guy out, but maybe you shouldn't. You know, you can wait and let him ask you out. What kind of role are you supposed to take? You're supposed to be the CEO and the entrepreneur at work, but then in the relationship, you're supposed to be this feminine woman. And how does that work? And women really haven't been given a great role model for how to be both the CEO, the businesswoman, the entrepreneur, and in the relationship. And that's one of the biggest complaints today among the men that I work with, the men that I speak to, is that a woman who won't take off her manager hat, a woman who wants to control the relationship, a woman who wants to drive it, a woman who wants to plan it, a woman who essentially wants to be the masculine in their relationship.
So do you believe in feminine energy? I mean, I certainly do. And I'm just going to inject this, hold that point, Matt, because in my own life personally, I would say most people say that I'm a powerful woman, radio show, on my own company. But the interesting thing, I understand men, but when I'm with a man, I'm very soft. And people say, well, you're changing. I said, no, I just allow the other side of me to flow. I'm very soft. I'm very feminine. And I just flow from that perspective versus the other side of me. And men absolutely love that. For example, the example that you just gave, I understand that men need praise. And that's why I was looking at Matt's picture before we came on the air. And I said, Matt, I'm looking at your handsome picture over here on the internet. And I just know that it's the truth and that's the way that I flow. And I think that men respond to that versus this business entrepreneur kind of woman.
Absolutely. And it makes, you know, make no mistake. And for everyone listening, you know, Constance, your radio show is super successful. So you are a dynamic, you know, woman of movement, and you know how to shift into that feminine space in the relationship. And so I think it's important to recognize that whether you're a man, whether you're male or whether you're female, we each have masculine and feminine energy. And it's the ability to master both and to be able to move back and forth, to flow from one to the other, given the circumstance, given the environment, whatever energy is needed, that creates really successful individuals in both business and in relationships. So a lot of people don't know what's the difference between masculine and feminine energy. So let me give a couple examples, and Constance, jump in here if I miss one or if you want to add one. But masculine energy is building energy. The corporate world is highly masculine energy. It's about deadlines. It's about competition. It's about productivity, efficiency, and the bottom line. And it's leading energy. It's making the plans, okay? Now, whether you're male or female, that can be very, very useful. That can be a useful energy. That can be useful dynamic when building your company or leading a group of people or even in a relationship from time to time, whether you're male or female. Feminine energy and masculine energy is very cognitive. It's very intellectual. It's up in your head. Feminine energy is emotional intelligence. It's being connected to your body and your emotions. It's also your intuition, your gut feeling. Some of the best CEOs, both male and female, have tapped into, harnessed, and cultivated their ability to use their intuition and know their gut feelings. It was this whole study written about in the book called Blink by Malcolm Gladwell. Feminine energy is collaboration, cooperation. So you need people to get to work together. You're coming from your feminine energy rather than competition. It's also very nurturing, very caring, very empathetic. And here's the deal. there's something called the law of polarity in relationships, which means that masculine energy attracts feminine energy, and feminine energy attracts masculine energy. So the challenge is, I get all of these women who come to me and they're like, well, where are all the good men? I'm not meeting them. And it's because they haven't learned how to move back and forth between the masculine and the feminine when they're in relationships and when they need to. The highest value people can move back and forth and be able to do one and the other. And this is such a huge topic. I actually recorded a whole program about it called The Magic Feminine Formula to help people go through it. And I asked my sister to be a part of it because my sister is a pit bull in business. She is a closer, an entrepreneur, very successful, and it's so incredible for me to watch her shift over into her feminine energy and her relationship, because she is so much the beautiful, soft, flowing woman in her relationship. I was like, how do you do this? And so she created this whole program that helps people do that. But one great thing that we can talk about here on the radio, if you want to activate your feminine energy in a relationship, all you have to do, or one primary thing you can do, I should say, is it's called joyful receptivity. Oftentimes, early in the relationship, I'm talking about the courting phase, not after you're committed. That's a different phase, has different agreements that build attraction. But in the courting phase, when there's no sort of agreement of, hey, we're together, we're still figuring this thing out, just joyful receptivity will build his attraction. Ladies, you have to remember that for hundreds of thousands of years, a man's worth has been tied to what he provides for you. You know, hundreds of thousands of years ago, men would go out from the cave and they would hunt down food and they would bring it back to you, and your response to what he's provided to you, whether that pleases you or displeases you, was connected to his worth as a man. And it is still so today. What we deliver and provide to you is so much connected to how we feel about ourselves, our sense of self-esteem, you know, whether or not we feel like a man. And so what that means is, I'll give you a quick example. My wife, I would date all these powerful, successful women, and I could never figure out why the attraction would just deflate so quickly in the relationship until I started dating my wife. And she was so great at being in her feminine. And I can remember picking her up one night to take her on a date. And I picked her up, and then we had been going out for a little while, but nothing was like set in stone yet. And I said, it was a Friday night, and I said, picked her up, and I said, all right, where do you want to go? And she goes, well, I thought you were taking me out. And I said, I am. I'll take you anywhere you want to go. And she was like, well, you're the man. Why don't you pick a place? To me, I was like, I had dated all these, you know, go-getter entrepreneurial women. They always had a plan. They knew what they wanted, and it was easy for me to deliver their plan. But I didn't have a plan this particular night, and so I started to freak out. In my mind, I'm like, well, where should I take her? I'm not sure. And she goes, look, I like Chinese food and I like Italian food. Either one of those will make me happy. You, the man, you lead, take me out. And so I took her to Italian food. I took her to the Olive Garden, which was nice, which was lovely.
That was pretty good, Matt.
Thank you. You see, it took me 4 years, you know, to get married. But so I took her to the Olive Garden, and we're coming out of the Olive Garden, and I see her skin. She's in a tank top. I've got a jacket on. I see her skin go, because it's chilly outside. Mm-hmm. She's got goosebumps. And so I start to take off my jacket and give it to her. And her response was, at first it was, no, 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 no. You know, you're going to be cold. But then she, right in the middle of that sentence, she stopped herself and she goes, okay, I'll take your jacket. And I put my jacket around her. And now, was I cold? Sure. I was cold a little bit that evening, but I will brave this cold weather if it means that my woman is warm. You know what I mean? Like, I could see her face. I could see her snuggling into that jacket, and she loved it, and it made me feel such like a man. And then she leans over, and she goes, thank you so much for dinner. That was fantastic. And I felt my level of attraction, get this, and this is an interesting nuance, my level of attraction was way higher because I had picked the place than it was with my previous women I would date, where they would tell me where to go, and then I would just take them there. Why? Because there was risk involved. I needed to plan it. And one of men's greatest subconscious yearnings is to have their thoughts respected. So if they actually cultivate the plan, execute it, and it pleases you, it skyrockets our attraction for you.
Now, that's so good. I have so many questions I want to ask you, Matt. And one is the man cave. I mean, women don't know what a man cave is. We don't know why you guys have to have one, why you even go in there. But we know we have a no trespassing sign for women. And, you know, I just want to know, how can women deal with men when they go in the cave? Why do men go in the cave? What should a woman do while her man is in the cave? And then when he comes out, what
gotcha.
Should she do?
This is such a great point. And because oftentimes, see, we expect that the other person is like us, that they kind of think like us, they have the same views and this process the same way. That's why we're together, because we have the same, you know, same interests, same likes. But men and women are so different. It's absolutely incredible. And the man cave comes primarily out of the differences between how our brains are wired up. So I came up with a great analogy, ladies, for you to understand how a man's brain is wired up, because it is completely different from your brain. And it's actually impossible. I want you to begin with this premise. It is impossible for me to fully know what's happening in my man's mind, just like it's impossible for men to know what it feels like to be inside a woman's mind. So I'll give you this analogy, which will help bridge that gap. A man's brain is completely compartmentalized, or as I like to put it, apartmentalized. It's like a giant apartment complex, okay? And we have one apartment for each thing in our life, including our senses. We have one apartment that controls our seeing, a separate apartment for our hearing, a separate apartment for our talking, another apartment for our problems. We have another apartment for work. We have another apartment for our car. We have another apartment for sports, a big penthouse apartment for sex. I am not joking. It is ginormous compared to women's. And the catch is that we can only be in one apartment at a time.
That amazes me just to hear you explain that, because women are so different. Go ahead.
Oh, it's so different. And I know, Constance, you're being so great, because you are an expert in all this. I know you know all this, so bless your heart for letting me just roll. But so we can only be in one apartment at a time. And like, they've taken brain scans, functional brain scans of men, when we're reading the newspaper, and the apartment that controls our hearing is literally dark.
So come on, Matt. Is that why when guys are reading the newspaper, you can say something and they just like they don't even hear you?
We are not ignoring you. I promise. We do not even hear you until the third time you ask. Or when we're watching SportsCenter, when we're watching TV, if you're not in our field of vision, we do not hear it. All right. Now, men have here. This is getting to the man cave. All right. Men get a biological charge when they accomplish something. Women get a biological charge when they connect to other people. Two very different motivations. Men do not get the same biological charge when they're connected. They do get some, but not the same way as if they feel like they accomplish something. Okay? And this is why when you go to the gym, I mean, this is a great social experiment. You go to the gym the next time, you look around, who is in the weight room?
Guys are in the weight room.
It's 90% men, and the reason why is because men, the weights are all about goals, little incremental goals. Can I lift this barbell 10 times? Boom, 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 lift it 10 times, bam, I accomplished a little goal. Can I lift 180 pounds this time? Yes, I lifted it. Boom, accomplished a goal. Who's in the aerobics room?
Women. I was just in a Zumba class and it was full of women just last week.
Zumba. My wife does Zumba, and Tuesday night she does hot hula. She's showing me the hot hula moves she's doing. And it's all about connection. It's all about all of the women doing the moves in sync, in time, to the music, together, sweating at one, as one. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the whole thing moving together. So that's just a demonstration of how different we are wired up and what charges us. So men have an apartment in this apartment complex, okay, that that is what's called their nothing, their empty suite. We call it their empty suite. There's nothing in this suite. And men go there to decharge. See, we can compartmentalize. If work is really stressful, if other things are very stressful, we can go to this apartment to completely decharge is how we relax. It's somewhat like a meditation. You know, we know meditations are designed to calm the thoughts and to become present. That's what this nothing, that's what this, you know, the empty suite is all about with nothing in it. It's just, boom, there's no problems there. There's no stress there. We just go to this empty apartment and there are no thoughts. Again, they've taken brain scans of men when they're in their nothing apartment, and it is literally like a flat line of brain activity. There's nothing happening at all in their
Amazing.
Mind.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, ladies, yours is very, very different because your brain is completely connected. You know, there's a bridge between the left and right hemisphere. It's called your corpus callosum. It's up to 20% larger in women than it is men. And it connects everything. So your job is connected to your sense of self-esteem, is connected to your man, is connected to your body, is connected to your friends, is connected to Zumba class, is connected to your bank account, is connected to everything. And it's all charged with emotion. Your emotional center is 20 times larger. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 20. That's your corpus callosum. Your emotional center is 8 times larger than that in a man. So it's powered with emotion. And everything is connected to everything else. And it never, now I don't know this, but women have told me that it never shuts off. That's the downside.
You're exactly right.
It never shuts off. Well, one of the ways that you can decharge this, you know, and sometimes women will get into what I call spinning. Their mind will just spin and spin. It'll jump from one topic to the next and worry about this and worry about that and spin, and because it's all connected and just like this snowball cascade effect. And again, you know, you'll have to tell me, Constance, have you found that to be true with for yourself and your clients?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we can just think of so many things and multitask and, you know, do so many things. And I guess it's just the way God made us.
Absolutely. And it's so brilliant, your ability to multitask. You know, my wife can be in the kitchen, cooking food, watching TV, texting her friend, and giving birth. All at the same time, and she never misses a beat, you know. No, I'm kidding, for all of you who just got a crazy image in your mind. Does not do that. But here's the thing. In order to decharge your brain, in order to feel more at peace, women talk. Simply the act of talking increases your feel-good chemicals. It helps you feel more calm, helps you feel more peaceful. Simply talk, just the process of talking and connecting with another individual through discussion helps you calm down. That's how you decharge. Your man does not decharge through talking. He wants to go into his nothing apartment or go into the man cave and try to accomplish something. Video games, you're accomplishing goals, right? You're killing things, you're beating things, you're getting points. Those are all goals that helps him feel good. He'll go to his wood shop. He'll go out to the back of the shop and make something. That is how he decharges. So it's two very different ways to reach the same goal, which is to feel more relaxed, to feel less stressed, to feel more present, to feel more available for love. And the problem is when a man expects a woman to be able to decharge the way he does, which is going, you know, she doesn't have a nothing. She doesn't have the empty suite, you know, the nothing apartment like he does. She needs to talk. And so a man will expect his woman, hey, you just need to go and compartmentalize this out and you'll be good. And she's like, no, I need to talk about it. I want you to talk to me. And the woman will expect the man to want to talk about his problems because it will make him feel better. And he's saying, no, it doesn't make me feel better necessarily. It will make you feel better. It will not make me feel better. And so what I love about this, you know, I'm a big believer in the results we have in our life are simply an expression of our level of awareness. Okay. You know, as our awareness increases, we're able to connect to one another. We're able to create the results that we want, because I promise you, the man you're with wants the same level of connection that you do. we all have that same yearning. He wants to please you. He wants to be loving. And sometimes we just don't know how, because we were expecting the other person is like us, and it's entirely different. And so, you know, that's why I'm so excited about this work, because not only has it helped my relationship immensely, but I know it does for others as well.
Wow. You know, and you made a statement, Constance. I know you know all of this, but I've learned so much from you tonight. You really, Matt, have a great gift of God. You're so knowledgeable, and I think you make it so clear for people. And I can't believe that our time is gone. It was so enjoyable. But I want you to share with my listeners all over the world, how can people contact you? How can they get your book? How can they contact you for your services, et cetera?
Well, I've put together a gift. You know, I feel like my life is to serve. And so I put together a great gift, because that's what makes me feel good. And it's a short little video course that's got some fantastic content around the differences between men and women, how we're wired up, how to really speak right to the love center of a man's mind, and also the one word that helps a man fall in love faster, because the process of falling in love is very, very different for a man as it is for a woman. And so at crackingthemancode.com, if anyone wants that free gift, it's there for you. It's my offering for you. I hope it serves you in your love life and increases your ability to connect to one another. And then if anyone wants to get Project Everlasting, the book or the film, they can go to projecteverlasting.com, and it really supports and honors all of these couples' wisdom that they drove so long and created such a huge effort to be able to bestow upon us. So that the book and the film Project Everlasting is available at that website, which is projecteverlasting.com.
And I'm going to encourage my listeners from all over the world, you got to get this book. I read it last night or this week, and I listened to the DVD last night, and it is so powerful. It just has timeless principles and information and secrets that will really help you to really have an abundant marriage. And Matt, I am so glad that you came on the show tonight, and I know that you're going to be a blessing to people all over the world, and I want to have you to come back when you finish writing your new book to share the great insight and knowledge that you have. You're a very powerful man, and tell your wife that I said she's blessed.
I feel the same way. Thank you, Constance. The pleasure is mine.
Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show, saying to you, thank you so much for joining me, and remember this, the best is yet to come. God bless you, and expect a miracle today.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.